I really sense in my heart the Lord met us in the altar this morning. I really sense people are going to walk out of here just free in their heart, knowing God is in control. Amen. God is in control. You know, that was the rest in Paul's heart when he was in that storm and the ship was being blown. And for many nights, there was just something in Paul's heart that said, you know what, if God says I'm going to Rome, I'm going to Rome. He didn't say there wouldn't be a storm. He just said, I'm going to Rome. And God was faithful to bring him to Rome. Amen. And you know what? Because he had that in his heart, he was free to minister to the others that were on the ship. And God was glorified. God is in control. Amen. Well, let me just, before we get into our scripture, say this. Yesterday, from about 2 p.m. to 11 p.m., I really labored with God in the Word, seeking a message for us this morning. But it was like running into a stone wall. And if you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. You've had those times. And I just labored with the Lord in the Word, but nothing was coming to life. Nothing was sparking anything in my heart. It was just very dead. And so about 11, I closed my Bible and tired and a little frustrated. I asked the Lord, Lord, do you have a word for us tomorrow? You know, do you have a message for us tomorrow? And as I just began to just be still before the Lord, I sensed the Lord speak to my heart and say, Tim, tomorrow I'm going to call the church to prayer. I'm going to call them to pray. I do have a short word, and then after the word, I want you as a church to spend some time together in prayer, because there's something that's on my heart. And then the Lord began to put a couple of passages of scripture on my heart. And so I want to turn there. I want you to go with me to Zechariah chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to start with Zechariah chapter 4. One verse. Verse 6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Beginning at verse 14. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In Zechariah chapter 4, we read a very familiar scripture, a very quoted scripture, the scripture that says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And if you'll just bear with me for a minute, because over the years I have preached this message many times. I've preached from Zechariah 4 many times. And one more time, I just want to remind us of the context. In Zechariah chapter 4, what's happening is, if you'll remember, the children of Israel have been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And God has released them from that captivity to go and rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple that's in Jerusalem. And God gave a man by the name of Zerubbabel the charge to build the temple, to get the people together and to begin to build the temple. And what we have to remember is that Zerubbabel has lived in Babylon his entire lifetime. He's only heard the stories about how 70 years ago the Babylonians came to Jerusalem and destroyed everything. left everything in ruins, left everything in the rubble, left everything in wreckage and debris, left nothing standing, destroyed everything. He only heard the stories. But now, in Zechariah chapter 4, he's actually standing in Jerusalem, and he sees it for himself. He sees the wreckage, he sees the ruins, he sees the rubble, he sees the absolute devastation of it all. And out of his sense of need, out of his sense of bankruptcy in himself, he's looking at all this ruin, and a cry is coming up in his heart. And that cry is simply this: God, how do you expect me to raise these ruins from the dead? How do you expect me to take this wreckage and ruin and debris and rebuild a temple for your glory? I mean, God, you're calling me into this place of wreckage and debris and rubble, and you're calling me to raise up a temple out of all this. God, look at what you've given me to work with. And in his sense of neediness, and in his sense of insufficiency, and in his sense of just feeling spiritually bankrupt for the call, he's asking the Lord, how am I supposed to do this? Lord, what you called me to do is impossible. And that is when the word comes to his heart. That is when the Lord comes with this word and says, Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel, be of good courage. It's not going to be by human might. It's not going to be by human strength or human power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God that you are going to raise my temple out of these ruins. Be of good cheer. You know, some years ago, I was invited by a pastor to come speak at his church. His church was in a very deep financial pit. It had dwindled down to just a few families. The money wasn't coming in. And they were right on the brink of making the decision to close the doors. And it was out of that place that he asked me to come speak at his church. And shortly before that Sunday morning service came, I just got in my car and I took a drive around the community that surrounded that church. And it was a small church in a small town, in a small community. And as I began to drive through that community that surrounded that church, the Lord helped me see the things that I needed to see. I saw alcoholism and drug addiction surrounding that little church. I saw divorce ravaging and destroying homes surrounding that little church. I saw violence and spousal abuse surrounding that little church. I saw teenagers that were angry in heart and rebellious, living destructive lives surrounding that little church. And a cry came into my heart, the cry that simply said, God, why are they having to close the doors? Why are they having to close the doors? This community needs this church. This community needs the life that's in this church. This community needs the deliverance that's in this church. This community needs the hope of change that is in this church. And I don't understand why they're having to close their doors. And it was then the Lord began to speak to me. He spoke to me in much tenderness, but he spoke to me with great fervor. And he said, Tim, the problem is not money. The problem is not finances. The problem is not a shortage of people. The problem is they're prayerless. The problem is the spirit of prayer has died here, and these people haven't prayed in years. It's not money. They're prayerless. But Tim, if you will tell them to begin to pray again, I will raise it from the dead. If you will tell them that one more time, come to the altars and lift your heart in prayer out of your sense of need, out of your sense of spiritual bankruptcy. If you will come to the altars and one more time just begin to pour out your heart and say, God, would you breathe on us again? I will raise it from the dead. So I had the word in my heart that the Lord gave me, but I have to tell you, I battled with the word. All the way up to the pulpit, I battled with the thought, who do I think I am to tell these people that God said, you're prayerless? What right do I have to stand before these people and say, in a loving heart, God says, you're prayerless? But I had the word of the Lord, and so in obedience, I stood behind the pulpit, and I started out with great hope. I started out with great hope. I began to tell them, listen, your best days as a church is still before you. Your best days as a church is still before you. Listen, you haven't even begun to see what God can do through this church. You haven't even begun to see it. Listen, God is the one that planted this church, and what God has planted, there isn't a power in all the world that can tear down what God has planted. And then I begin to move into the message. I begin to tell them the Lord is saying that, listen, if you'll come back to prayer, if you'll just come back to understanding how much you need Him, you need His help, and if you'll begin to pour your heart again out to the Lord in prayer, God says He's going to raise this church from the dead. Be of good courage. Your best days are still in front of you. Beloved, this is where I was at with the Lord last night. The Lord took me back to this moment. He took me back to this church. He took me back to this message. He took me back to the hope and the life and the power of prayer. And I began to sense in my own heart how much this church needs the Lord's help. I begin to sense in my own heart how much we as God's people in these days we are living in, how much we need the Holy Spirit's help. Listen, God has given His church, not this church, every church. He's given us an incredible calling, a glorious calling, and that is to be bright, shining lights marching into a dark society, consuming the darkness, raising the dead, destroying spiritual bondage, releasing the captives. He's giving us that calling. Beloved, if God has convinced me of anything, He's convinced me of this, that in this last day generation, there are people that are hungry for God, hungry for what He has to offer, hungry for grace and truth, hungry for identity and purpose, hungry for freedom. And God has called His church to be a church burning ablaze with love and truth, invading the tombs and raising the dead. But we need to understand just how much we need His help. We need to understand just how much we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And I sense in my heart God is saying this morning, my people need to need me again. They need to need me again. They need to realize in their hearts how much they need me. It's not by human might or human power, but only by my Spirit can you raise a generation from the ruins. My people need to need me again. And as I was thinking about this, the Laodicean church kept coming to my heart and my mind, and something the Lord said to that church kept echoing in my mind. And I want you to see it again. I want you to look with me at verse 17. Because thou sayest, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. And them are the words I strongly want to emphasize, because you say in your heart, I don't really need anything. In fact, I don't need anything. And here's what the Lord is saying to this church. Though you never say it with your mouth, your heart speaks it loud and clear. You feel so sufficient in yourselves, you feel like you have need of nothing. You are so sufficient in yourselves, you really feel, I have nothing that you need. And the Lord began to speak to my heart that this is the spirit that has overtaken so many hearts in the church today. Success and money and materialism has birthed a self-sufficient people. Success and money in itself is not wrong, but it has birthed a self-sufficient people in the church who really don't sense they need anything from God. And so now they are living to serve self over God. Financially secure. Materially stable. And though we would never say it with our mouths, it speaks loud and clear in our prayers. It speaks loud and clear in our worship. Speaks loud and clear in the way that we live our Christian life. I'm sufficient in myself. I'm secure in myself. I don't really see my need for anything God has to offer. Beloved, here's the question I truly feel God is putting before our hearts. When does a church truly pray? When does a church become a praying church? When does that happen? It happens when it realizes how much it needs God. It happens when it realizes how much it needs the Holy Spirit's help. Beloved, going all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, where it says, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Right from the very beginning, God shows us His only remedy for darkness is the moving of His Spirit. Beloved, as a church, we are so dependent upon the moving of His Spirit. If there's going to be life and freedom and power and anointing and change and transformation here, as a church, we are so dependent upon the moving of His Spirit. He has to move. I've just been really burdened in my heart. God, help us to understand how much, as a church, we need You. Help us one more time to sense our own spiritual bankruptcy without the help of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be a people who understand, God, the generation we're living in, the darkness we're living in, the ruin and the rubble we're living in, and something that comes into the heart says, oh God, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by human talent, it's not by human strength, it's not by human abilities. God, it's only by Your Spirit. Can anything with eternal value be produced? Would You help us need You again? If we truly don't feel the weightiness of how much we need You again, would You help us? Because the calling is too great. The consequences are too high. If we lose that in our heart. So, beloved, this morning the Lord is calling us to pray. And, beloved, can I ask this morning, can we humble ourselves before the Lord and cry out to the Holy Spirit and confess our need for Him? Can we cry out to the Lord this morning and confess our need for His help? One more time, can we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with His life and passion and power this morning? One more time, can we ask Him to move in our church and do what we in ourselves cannot do, and that is to change lives? Would you pour your heart out with me this morning? Can we humble ourselves before the Lord this morning and say, we need You. We need Your help. Stand with me. I just want to say that if you're a visitor here this morning and this is uncomfortable to you, you know, please feel free to just sit quietly and wait for us to pray. But if you're here and you love the Lord and you're walking with the Lord and something's touched your heart and you want to join us in prayer this morning, please feel free. But beloved, the Lord is calling us to need Him this morning. I'm calling my people to need me this morning. Would you pray one more time? Would you ask me for help one more time? Would you ask me to pour out my spirit one more time? Would you ask me to set your heart aflame with life and passion and vision and power and purpose this morning? And would you ask me to do what you could never do in your own strength? Change lives. Would you just lean upon me this morning? So I'm just going to ask. I just want us to pair up in groups of three, four. And can we humble ourselves? Can we take the pride? Just if there is pride, and I say this in humility, if can we just take whatever pride there is and just put it out before the Lord and really humble ourselves and say, oh God, as a church we need you. Can we do that this morning? Can we call out upon Him this morning? Amen. So why don't you just pair up in groups of three or four and let's just humble ourselves and cry out to the Lord this morning. Come on, beloved, let's pray. Let's pray.
Beloved, if I could just share with you very briefly, just something that was coming to my heart as we were praying was, God, just give us the courage to be honest about ourselves. You know, the whole problem with Laodicea was that they no longer had the ability to discern where they were or what they'd become. They had become so in love with their self-sufficiency that it now took the threat of being spewed out of Christ's mouth to shake them awake again. And that could have been avoided. They didn't have to go there. And I think the cry of my heart is just, God, help me to always be aware of where and what I truly am. I don't want it to take that kind of threat or that kind of warning. You know, and I have a commentary in my office. It's called the New International Commentary on the New Testament. It's my favorite resource that I own, and one of the best ones I've ever come across. It's very conservative. You know, the scholars who wrote it believe the Bible is the Word of God and that it's relevant for all matters of life. And, you know, the particular gentleman who wrote about Revelation, when he got to the Laodicean church, he gives a very interesting point about the geography. And here, Laodicea as a city sat right between two major cities in Asia Minor. One was Colossae that Paul wrote to, and the other was a city called Hierapolis. And Laodicea was right in between them. And I believe it was at Hierapolis there were hot springs. And, you know, hot springs were so useful. You could go into them for bathing, for refreshment. If you wanted to make hot tea or something of that nature, it was very easy. And the hot springs flowed down from Hierapolis, and they went all the way to Colossae. And by the time they got to Colossae, they were ice-cold, refreshing streams of water. But in Laodicea, at the halfway point, they were lukewarm. The waters were disgusting and tepid. And so Jesus is speaking to these people with imagery that would hit them immediately where they were at. He was basically saying, I wish I could expect you to be hot. I wish I knew that if I drank of you, if I drank of what you are, if I tasted of what you've become, I could expect something comforting. I could expect something that would energize me, like a nice hot cup of tea. Or I could expect you to be cold and refreshing, something that would relieve me in a time of stress. But no, when I drink of you, when I taste what you've become, you've basically become spiritually useless. When he calls them lukewarm, he's basically telling them you've become just like the waters that flow through your city. At Hierapolis, it's nice and comforting, it's refreshing and hot. At Colossae, it's cool and it's a nice icy cold drink on a hot day. But in you, it's just become something gross that when I taste it, I just want to spew it out of my mouth. He's basically telling them, I don't like what I'm tasting in you. When he says I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, he's sticking with the picture, I'm drinking something that you're offering me and I want to spit it out. And they had become so in love with their self-sufficiency, they had become so in love with their own ability and this false perception of themselves that it took that kind of severe warning to shake them to life again. And we don't know how they responded. But I know how I want to respond today. And I thank God that our church doesn't need that kind of severity. Pastor Tim, I thought you delivered it perfectly, by the way. Just, I don't want to be taken the wrong way. Laodicea needed it within that severe context. The Holy Spirit's bringing it to us today because He knows we're a receptive people. And I don't ever want to come to the place where I need that kind of firm hand from Jesus. I thank God that we have a pastor who doesn't need that kind of firm hand to be woken up. You know? And I know how I'm going to respond today. So I just want to challenge you. How are you going to respond? How honest are you prepared to be with the Holy Spirit about where you are, about what you're becoming? Will you let Him confront you if need be? And may I pray for us? Let's all stand, actually, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor Tim. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are the Spirit of truth. God, I thank You that You are willing and able to confront us, O God, and You know how to speak to us, Lord. Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that You come and You approach us in gentleness, Lord, and You approach us with firmness, God, and You know what we need when we need it. But God, at the end of the day, my cry for us today is that we would respond. Lord, let us always respond in obedience to You, Lord. God, give us the courage to live a lifestyle of openness and honesty before You. God, I pray in Jesus' name that You would help us, O Lord, to always be aware of where we are going and what we are becoming. Lord, forgive us for when we make excuses for ourselves. Lord, forgive us, O God, for when we wrongly justify our words, our actions, things of that nature. God, I pray, Lord, that we would never be above correction. We would never be above being teachable. God, give us hearts of humility, Lord, that we would always be able to hear. God, I pray that You would remove from us every wrong perception of what we are. God, I want to be able to call myself what I actually am. Lord, protect us from going to a wrong extreme of becoming so introspective that we become condemned and live under a shadow of guilt. Lord, we just need to allow You to tell us what we are. God, I want my heart to always be open to allowing You to tell me who I am and what I'm becoming, oh God. Lord, may we be a church that says, Jesus, You can tell us whatever we need to hear. God, and there is such safety in that. God, thank You for telling us what we need to hear today. God, thank You, Lord, for bringing us to a place of awareness today, Lord God. We don't want to be a prayerless church. Help us to be a praying church, oh God. Thank You, Lord, for our pastor. Bless him today for his obedience to You. God, thank You that we're not bound by a program, Lord. Thank You that You have the kind of freedom in this place that You can change it up when You know something needs to be dealt with or something needs to be done. God, thank You, Lord, for giving us this man as our leader. Bless him and his family today. God, I pray, O Lord, that You would help us to always be supportive as a church. Help us to be praying as a church, Lord God Almighty. Not just for our leadership, but even for the direction that You would have us to go. And Lord, whoever comes into this house, O God, Lord, whoever comes into this house, may they always find bread. May they always find life here. Lord, may no one ever come through these doors and find bankruptcy. Lord, may no one ever come through these doors and find spiritual famine. God, may there always be life in this house. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just want to say, just very quickly, that as a pastor, I do feel very honored. I really, with all my heart, this is a great church filled with people who love God, who have a heart to hear from the Lord, and there's life here. God has truly carved out a well here. And we give all the glory to the Lord. Amen. And let's just keep our hearts open. You know, there are going to be times the Lord is really going to need to come and challenge us. But you know, as we learned a week or two ago, we don't have to be afraid of truth when we love truth. And truth is always spoken with mercy. And that's where the power to change is. Amen. Okay, well, I'm done. God bless y'all. Have a good day.